I want to reintroduce you to a guest who was with us in April this year when we spoke about the Uno Gwaja Challenge. You may recall the story of 11 crazy people cycling from Cape Town to Pietermaritzburg and then competing in the Comrades Marathon when they got there as a fundraising venture. And at the time, we chatted to team member Kirsten Wilkins about the incredible effort and determination it would take to pull off a challenge of that magnitude. Clearly, she's a bit of a sucker for punishment because she's got her sights set on another epic task of a similar kind, and this time tackling another monumental cause for many people. That's the issue of fracking, or rather opposition to fracking in the Karoo. It's a great pleasure to welcome back on the line Kirsten Wilkins, an urban designer and a member of the Ride for the Karoo, which sets off on the 9th of November. Kirsten, it's great to have you with us again. Welcome back.
Hi, Pippa. It's really great to be back on your show. My first question for you is, have you got a bicycle since we last spoke?
I have indeed. And I've even ridden it a couple of Ks.
Well, then my job is done.
Okay, that's a good start, Kirsten. Clearly your job's not done, though, because there are 11,000 odd kilometers lying ahead of you over the course of 9 days. Once again, you've got together a team of intrepid cyclists. What's the route this year and what's the cause behind it?
Okay, so on Friday, we're leaving Profernet. And actually traveling in the opposite direction to the Uno Gwaja, which was up to Maritzburg. Mm-hmm. This challenge is actually quite interesting. We're doing it mostly off-road, and we've been quite intentional about our routing. We're trying to do two things. One is to really visually showcase a lot of the Karoo that people might not actually be aware of. So from a tourism point of view, really sort of looking at economic development and trying to add some weight to that. But at the same time, creating we're traveling with a documentary team, mm-hmm. and then we're interviewing activists and folks in these 9 different towns that we're stopping in and chatting to them about the importance of understanding the implications of fracking, trying to sort of mobilize their voices and amplify their voices, if you like, within our documentary and on social media to see if we can actually kind of assist those communities in having a louder say, a more prominent say, and just really kind of empowering them to speak louder to government on this very important issue. As you know, I mean, the major implication around hydraulic fracking is really the poisoning of underground water. Which, I mean, it's just so topical right now. Mm. But, I mean, you can imagine a community that relies only on underground water to have that polluted. It's the end of everyone's livelihoods, and those towns will die. So it really is a critical issue. And so, yeah, it's just such a privilege to be able to be doing that by bicycle, because on a bicycle you can really stop and speak with people and engage and just do that in a very personal way. So we thought, like, combining bicycle riding and documentary filmmaking around the issue of fracking was just a really good combination.
Kirsten, where are we with fracking? Because it's been very quiet for a couple of months. I think the last sort of update we had was in May this year. I remember government saying they might look to be awarding licenses for exploration by later this year, but I don't recall anything happening since then. Do you have a sense of where the whole conversation is at?
Yeah, I think, I mean, from my perspective, and it really is a little bit limited, I have to say, in terms of, like, the legal side of things. I know that from a legal point of view, sort of the battle rages on. And I think the danger there is that then people, you know, in communities and activists then sort of also just tap off a little bit on kind of raising their voices. So I know from a legal point of view, there's still a lot of money being spent sort of kind of opposing companies that are looking to get these fracking licenses. But we're hoping to sort of kind of raise the conversation again and make it more of a public discourse. I mean, I think the weird teams just have dipped off, from what I can understand, is that it's not looking to be as financially viable at the moment. But I absolutely think that the time will come when it becomes where the financial incentive is there again for companies, and people will have to be ready to go again in terms of kind of being in opposition to that. So while it feels like a bit of a lull, for me it feels like a fantastic preparation period to have communities getting upskilled and for us to produce the visual collateral through our documentary and also just in engagements, so that when that time comes, when it becomes financially viable again, people can sort of get on their feet and start running. So,
okay, or start riding in this case, Kirsten.
Well, yeah.
You've got a website where our listeners will be able to take a look at more of what you're doing, follow the route, etc., and get updates. Where should they be looking?
That's right. They can go to rideforthekaroo.co.za, okay. And also follow us on Twitter with the same handle, Ride for the Karoo. Our fundraising effort is largely around, we have got a great online auction on our website, which is great. There's so many wonderful prizes and sponsors that have come on board. So that's a great way to raise funds. And then we, at the end of our ride on the 18th of November, we're finishing in Franschhoek with a wonderful event. We've got David Cromer playing, and David Cromer is like the crew. David Cromer, Anna Carstens, an amazing dinner. And then you can click through on our website to buy tickets for that as well.